orators, Brother Sutton, ladies and gentlemen. It's a distinct privilege on my part to be here and to be a part of this discussion tonight. And I'm grateful that in the kind providence of God that we have been allowed to live and to come down to this moment of time. Tonight, Brother Sutton read the proposition, he is in the affirmative and I am in the negative, which means that I follow his speech. The proposition that he read, that he affirms, the scriptures teach that churches of Christ may not build and maintain benevolent organizations such as Bowles Orphan Home, Tennessee Orphan Home, Child Haven, and Home for the Aged, and Care for the Needy. Brother Sutton affirms that, and I deny that. First of all, I'd like to read the questions that I have for Brother Sutton. There are five of these questions, and he already has a copy of these questions. Number one, does the church maintain any obligation at all to orphan children simply on the basis of his being an orphan? Number two, would it be scriptural for the church to buy a piece of ground, build a house, and supply it with the needed equipment, hire the necessary help, place orphan children in it, and provide the money for their care? Question number three. This is a true or false question and really gets at the heart of this discussion. The question is this. All passages which authorize the performance of religious acts and which make specific reference to the Christian individual are passages which authorize the indicated acts to be performed by the individual Christian exclusively. That's the question. Number four, can the needs of an orphan child be adequately met without his having or being a part of a home? And number five, in which institution did God locate the work of child care, the home or the church? Those are his five questions. Now I'd like to get to the questions that he gave for me. Question number one, is the local church its own missionary society and its own benevolent society? The church is not a missionary society. The church is not a benevolent society. There are three divine institutions. They are the church, the home, and civil government. And each one is to perform its function. The church may apostatize in an area, but it can be restored by the gospel, the truth. A government may collapse, but that government may be restored. A home may collapse. That home can be restored, and it can be restored in a legal home or an orphan home. Number two, are such benevolent institutions as named in the proposition human institutions, or are they divine institutions? Legal homes are divine institutions. The government is a divine institution. The church is a divine institution. And homes are divine institutions. Number three, may an individual Christian's responsibility to his children to provide medical care and secular education be discharged collectively by his contributing money into the church treasury, and from that treasury a contribution be made to hospitals and schools such as Fried Hardeman College? The home is a divine institution. A school is simply an adjunct of the home. And the church is not to contribute its funds to school. Number four, please give the passage or passages for a congregation to contribute or donate funds from its treasury to a home? And I'll be glad to give him an answer that's found by Brother Eugene Brentnell. It's in the Brentnell Woods debate, and it's on page 51. He cites 1 Timothy 5:16. I'll endorse the same passage. Obligates the church to care for the needy. If they need a home, the church can provide the home. It did in Acts 6. It did in Acts 4. It did in Acts 11. So Brother Eugene Brentnell gives you the passage. Number 5. Do the scriptures authorize a congregation to make contributions from its treasury to the Red Cross and other non-religious organizations of general benevolence? If so, please give the scripture. When he talks about general benevolence and then talks about the Red Cross, he's mixing them up. There might very well be some questions about an individual giving to the Red Cross. A church has a right to give to saints who are in need and sinners who are in need. The scripture is 2 Corinthians 9:13. Paul is thankful for their contribution or distribution, which was given unto them and unto all men. It was given to saints and sinners. That answers his questions. Now I'd like to take just a moment to set forth a little history. I have in my hand a copy of the Bowles Orphan Home magazine, published at Greenville, Texas, June 1927. This article was written by Roy E. Coggle. Brother Roy E. Coggle was one of the finest preachers among their brethren. Here's what he said on page 2. He said, "We have played the part of priest and Levite too long. We need to realize that a mission of the Church of Jesus Christ is that of caring for those in need. Our orphan home work today is progressing splendidly because of the vision that some have had. Churches are taking part in it because they have the proper vision of church work. Churches that have no part in this great work and similar works lack a proper vision of the mission of the Church of God. This part of the mission of the church is a means to an end in many cases." Brother Roy Coggle in 1927 made a fine statement about Bowles Orphan Home. I'd like to read another statement from one of the outstanding editors, Fanning Yeater Tent. This is from the Gospel Guardian, November 24th, 1949. He commends Maud Carpenter's Children's Home. He speaks of it and says, "But in this instance, we feel that the subject discussed is of such importance and the work being done at Maud Carpenter Children's Home is so worthy that we gladly make an exception." And he runs here the article that was written by Homer Haley. And it was written in the Gospel Guardian. And here's what Homer Haley had to say. And Homer Haley is one of the finest writers among these brethren. He said, "For the past week I have been in Wichita, Kansas, with an opportunity to observe firsthand a work that has thrilled my soul. The work being done by the churches in and about Wichita and in the Maud Carpenter Children's Home. The home is located on 40 acres of good land, a mile and a half from the city limits. Here are 34 children. More than an orphanage, they find a Christian home." And so Brother Homer Haley makes his statement. Now let's look at another date. October the 18th, 1951. This appeared in the Gospel Guardian, written by Brother Yeah Tan. He said, "We are committed to battle, and that without restraint, yes, even to the point of division. That was from Brother Fanning Ada Tant himself. And over the years, we've seen the many discussions that have taken place, and so we're here tonight in another of these discussions. Brethren can engage in discussions like this. We can disagree without being disagreeable. Brethren can have honorable controversy and honorable discussion like we are having tonight. It's our responsibility to present to you the position. You have a responsibility to listen and to weigh the evidence. You have the responsibility to decide, and we'll leave it with you after the discussion. I'd like to look first at his proposition. You'll notice that he is affirming a negative. What he is doing is making an affirmative speech, saying that we are not to have, may not have, scripturally, such things as Bowles Orphan Home, Tennessee Home. He says we cannot have these. He is arguing a negative. We want him to present to us the way he would do it. Tell us the way it should be done. Explain to us what it is that you believe the church should do, how it should be done. He has a chart entitled, "What is the issue?" As he sets out that particular chart, raising the question, "What is the issue?" I'd like to raise a matter that really gets right at the issue. If I can have a chart, please. My chart number 7, I believe it is. Let's go to 6, let's go to 6. We're dealing with what is the issue. I want to try to locate exactly where Brother Sutton is. And he can help us with that tonight. Notice, first of all, a statement from Brother A.C. Grider. Brother Grider would always tell you his position, every time that I've ever heard him anyway. Now, here is Brother Grider's position. He says the Bible teaches that it is a sin for the church to take money from its treasury to buy food for hungry, destitute children, and those who do so will go to hell. Now, I don't believe that position. But that was Brother Grider's position. Now I'm trying to find out where Brother Sutton is on that. Now another position, a little different. This is from Brother W.E. Bingham. This is the Harris Bingham debate. He said, if they were left destitute, I'd let money be taken out of the church treasury before I'd let them starve. Now that was Brother Bingham's position. And what I'm trying to do now, since I'm in the negative and he's in the affirmative, I'm trying to zero in on exactly what his position is. Now let's have number 7. I want to know if this is your position. Would you put the X there at the truth? All passages which authorize the performance of religious acts and which make specific reference to the Christian individual are passages which authorize the indicated acts to be performed by the individual Christian exclusively. Now that's at the heart of what is the issue. Here's what we're talking about. James 1:27 says, pure religion and undefiled before God and the Father is this, to visit the fatherless and widows in their affliction and to keep himself unspotted from the world. I want to know if Brother Sutton is saying that since this talks about the individual, is this action and is this something that the individual exclusively is to do? In other words, does it rule out the church? That's what we're asking. We're trying to zero in on exactly what his position is.
15.
Pardon me? 15, okay. Let's have chart number 8. Do we have 8? Yes. In deciding about what the individual can do, may an individual Christian build a baptistry? Do you believe that an individual Christian is authorized to build a baptistry? Yes or no? If yes, please cite the passage that authorizes such action. Let's have number 13. Oh. 1:27 says to visit the fatherless and the widow. Visit is from episkeptomai. It means to see, to inspect with the eye, to see the need and to supply the need. That's its meaning. All right, does this apply with equal force to the fatherless and the widows? If it is exclusively individual for one, if it's exclusively individual for the orphan or the fatherless, is it exclusively individual for the other? See, it is not exclusively individual for the widow. 1 Timothy 5:16 shows that. It says, if a man or woman have widows, let them relieve them, that the church be not charged, that if, that is the church, may relieve them that are widows indeed. Here you have church with responsibility. And on his chart, he had 1 Timothy 5:16. This passage talks about helping widows. Now, if a man or woman have widows, let them relieve them. They ought to. If they don't do it, then the church would be charged. But hopefully they will, so that that will leave the church to take care of those that are widows indeed. That is, those widows that don't have anybody. They are in great need. They have no one to take care of them. And so they can help. Now here's what we're saying, friends. If it's the case that the word fatherless or orphan in James 1:27, if it's the case that that word and that expression is referring to that which only the individual can do, then it ought to follow. The same would be true of the widow. Does that passage talk about exclusive action for the fatherless and the widow? They're joined by the conjunction and. Well, it must not be, because 1 Timothy 5:16 says that the church may help the widows that others will not help, and the church may help those that are widows indeed. So what you have is, if the visit is exclusively individual for the fatherless, then it will have to be exclusively individual for the widow. But 1 Timothy 5:16 says the church is obligated to help widows, in which case it must follow that James 1:27 must not be exclusively individual. The truth of the matter is, it is for the individual and the church. Let's look now at chart number 14. Here's some true and false about this individual matter in James 1:27. Ask yourself this question, true or false? A church may pray for wisdom. Can a church pray for wisdom? If any man lack wisdom, let him ask of God. But can a church pray for wisdom? What are you going to say? The church can't pray for wisdom. The next, a church may be a doer of the word. James says in James 1:23 and following, but be ye doers of the word. Can the church be a doer of the word? Next, a church may practice pure religion. May the church practice pure religion? Or can the church not practice pure religion? Can the church keep itself unspotted from the world? Or is the church obligated not to keep itself unspotted from the world? Let's look now at number 16. All passages which relate to peculiarly religious matters are passages which apply with equal force both to the church and the individual Christian. 2 John 9 is a passage which relates to peculiarly religious matters. Therefore, 2 John 9 is a passage which applies with equal force both to the church and the individual Christian. Does 2 John 9 apply to both the individual and the church? I want to take some time to look at his charts quickly. How much time are we talking about? About 10 minutes, okay. How do we do this on his charts? Do we turn those, or what do we do?
He's got some microphones.
Okay, all right, thank y'all. Thank you so much. Let's just look at the first one. What is the issue?
It'll be on the transpansion.
That one's on the transpansion? Okay. This one, is this where it starts? Okay, this is where you start. Okay. Okay, on these transpansions, what is the issue? Actually, we've been discussing that, and we want to zero in on what the issue is. Does the church have any obligation to help an orphan child? If you have an orphan child that's, say, 2 or 3 years old, not a member of the church, does the church have any obligation to help that child? That's what we want to know. All right, now let's look at the first one. What's this one? How to establish scriptural authority, the command, the example, and the necessary inference. And that's a fine chart. I think most preachers in this audience have probably preached that for many years. All right, we'll have the next one. Commands, generic and specific. And most of us have preached this chart. Now, in connection with this, I'd like to raise a question on this chart. Notice that it has that the church is to relieve. 1 Timothy 5:16. I want to ask, does the church have an obligation to an orphan child? We know it has an obligation to a widow. Now, does the church have an obligation to an orphan child? Consider also Acts 20:35. Now, Paul said that we ought to take care of those that are weak. And he's talking to elders. Would orphan children be included in those who are weak? That's the male. Are orphans those who are weak? Elders are to take care of them. Is that included in that or not? Okay, let's take the next chart. Aids and abysses. I want you to come down to the word sing there in Ephesians 5:19. Speak of yourselves in psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs, singing and making melody in your heart to the Lord. Does this apply to the church? I believe so. The Christian church denies that, as you well know. They deny that that applies to the church. I believe it applies to the church. And Brother Sutton, I want you to tell us, does Ephesians 5:19 apply to the church? Does it apply to the church? That's a real good question. And many of these things we have spoken on, and many of these principles are great principles that we have all preached for years. And we need to keep preaching them. What's wrong now is people don't know what's been preached in times past. Well, I'd like to look at his next chart. Benevolent organization. All right. What he is trying to do with these charts is to discuss the idea of corporation, boards, and make it look like that you don't have an orphan home. When the truth of the matter is, what you have is an orphan home. When you have a corporation, whenever you have a board, you're meeting legal requirements. For example, a church in holding property will have trustees. These trustees are the ones whose names are on the deed. We all understand that a church that has trustees and their names are on the deed, but it's still the church. Even though you've got trustees, that's to meet a legal requirement. And my friends, there are certain things you need to do when you start a home. If you decide to provide food and shelter and clothing and 24-hour care for children, you need to get you a charter by the state. You need to be incorporated. You need to get you a board of directors. Would it be wrong to meet these legal requirements? Would it be wrong to meet the legal requirements and for a church to have trustees? Would it be wrong to have the trustees whose names on the deed to the property of the house that the preacher lives in? And if the house that the preacher lives in is a house that has the names of the trustees on the deed to the property, what if you put some orphan children in that house? Say you get more than six. Say you get seven, eight, ten in that house. Would it be wrong to meet the legal requirements to provide for those children in that house? And would it be wrong to provide food, shelter, and clothing for them? I believe not. He believes that it would be wrong, if I understand his position correctly. And he's the one in the affirmative, and he will state what he believes, and we'll let him do that. All right, look, I'm going on the missionary side just a minute. Thanks. Many times people say, well, the orphan home is parallel to the missionary society, so therefore it must be wrong. Friends, there are three divine institutions, remember. The home, the church, and civil government. A home, whether it's the original home or a restored home, a legal home, it's still a home. Even though it meets legal requirements, you have several children there. And the state wants to make sure that you're doing it right. So you're meeting legal requirements. It would be wrong to give to a missionary society, whether you did it by the church or whether you did it by the individual. It'd be wrong to give to the missionary society out of your pocket as an individual, because it has no right to exist. But does Brother Sutton believe it'd be wrong to take money out of the individual's pocket and give to an orphan home? If all the money that the orphan home got was from individual contributions, would it be wrong? I don't think that he would say it would be wrong. He might. I'll let him state what he believes on it. But these are not parallel, as we'll show in this discussion. So the orphan home and the missionary society, they're not parallel. When you have a home, you have an orphan home. It is not a missionary society. Now, thank you so much. I'd like now to return to my charts. Let's see. We did 16, I want to do 17. But coming back now to James 1:27. Well, here is a passage that teaches us what pure religion is. It's to visit the fatherless and widows in their affliction, and to keep himself unspotted from the world. I have here some passages. Do these apply to the church only, the individual only, or to both? Take 2 John 9. Whosoever goeth onward abideth not in the doctrine of Christ hath not God. Does that apply just to the individual? Or does that apply to the individual and the church? 2 Timothy 3:16. All scripture is given by inspiration of God, and it's profitable for doctrine, reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be perfect, thoroughly or completely furnished unto every good work. Does that apply just to the individual? Or does that apply to both the individual and the church? Colossians 3:17. We're the same. Does that apply just to the individual? Or to the individual and the church? Jude 3, contend for the faith which was once delivered unto the saints. Does that apply just to the individual? Or does that apply to the individual and the church? Doesn't the church have an obligation to contend for the faith? Oh, but someone says there are other passages that show that. But if this passage is exclusively individual, only the individual could do it. And that objection would not work. The same is true in connection with James 1:27. Someone says, oh, there are other passages that might suggest something, like praying for wisdom. There are other passages that might suggest praying for wisdom, in which case James 1:5 would not be exclusively individual. Friends, it applies to both the individual and it applies to the church. We have an obligation as an individual, and we have an obligation as a church. As we have the means and as we have the opportunity, we should help. Thank you, sir.
I think we'll take about 10 minutes.